All right, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to start in Matthew 9. And this is Jesus speaking, and many of you probably heard this story. I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Then he, and the he is Jesus again, spoke to the man who could not walk. Get up, he said, take your mat and go home. And the end of it is 7. The man got up and went home. I love this story, super excited about this story. And this story never mentions their family. It says 4 men came alongside. It doesn't even say they're really friends. I'm guessing somehow they knew him, but the family's never mentioned. So this man had to be born in a time when we didn't know what to do. And if they didn't know what to do, they'd often push him aside and said, I don't know what to do with you, and you are going to have to live with this. And it's a time, and this man had to live through this, and everything he had to do, he had to ask for help. If he wants a drink of water, he has to ask for help. If he wants to move in his mat, he has to ask for help. If he wants to go to the next room, he has to ask for help. If he wants to go to McDonald's, if he wants to go anywhere, he has to ask for help. To be that vulnerable that say, hey, I just need you to help me roll over. Or I just need you to help me get a drink of water. I just need you to help me eat this meal. Whatever it is, that man had to ask for everything. Everything he had to ask for. So, because I want you to take this story home and be able to use it, I'm no longer going to call him just the paralyzed man, because I think maybe I grew up in an oversensitive world. I don't know, but I think it's kind of wrong just to look at him like that. So I'm going to give him a name. The name I'm going to give him is Bob. It's a simple name. If your name is Bob, I'm not naming you after you, so don't be offended. Whatever you want to do, write it on your chalkboard at home, whatever you want to do. But I'm going to name him Bob just so we can take it home, and I can use that instead of saying paralytic over and over. Maybe it's more simpler for me. I don't know. But we're going to use this, and we're going to continue with it. So the beginning of the story was the Instagram story, the one that I gave you. It's when the man was healed. We're excited about that. If your heart doesn't get excited about somebody all of a sudden who comes in and they can't walk, and now they can walk, and you're not excited about that, well, there might be something wrong with your heart rate. You may need to get that checked out. But this man is now healed. And Jesus says, you will be healed, and now you'll walk. And that's the exciting part. What we're going to do is kind of go through what behind the scenes. We're going to go take apart that Instagram picture, and we're going to look at what made Bob get to this point. What caused him to get there? And then I hope we can do that in our own lives. What can help us get to that point? So when we see those Instagram photos, we can realize, yes, it took time. Yes, it took energy. But then we can do that for our own lives. So the first one, our position is, this is your first note, if you can write it down, our position is on purpose. The Bible never tells us why Bob is paralyzed. It never says how he got there. It never says, was he born that way? It never says, did he have an accident? It never says what happened or what caused him to be that way. It doesn't, like I said earlier, it doesn't even mention his family. So there's no connection. All we know is Bob is laying on his mat and his friends come in one day. There is no how or what or whatever happened. All we know is this is where he is and God is going to use him. His whole life, he could have sat on that mat every day and complained. He could have. Every day, said, God, why am I here? What is this? Why is this going on in my life? What is it? We don't know. There's no words spoken by the man. All we know is he's on the mat. But what we do know is God took his whatever. His whatever was that he was paralyzed and he can't do anything. His our whatever is whatever we're struggling with, and God's going to take that and use it. But God took it, and he healed him, and he did something amazing. See, what we often think is that we're stuck. See, this man was literally physically stuck, but we think that we're stuck at our jobs, our dead-end jobs, or our pains, our hurts, and we think we're stuck and we're not going anywhere. But we have to remember that God is creating this beautiful picture. And right now, if it's the thing was working, I'd show a picture of Van Gogh. It's this awesome picture of how he took all these brush strokes to make this beautiful picture. But a lot of times, all we are is just 2 brush strokes. And we just see the little reds, the little blues, and maybe a little whites, and we just see that, and we're kind of stuck in our own little brush stroke, and we say, God, get me out of this brush stroke. But what God's saying is, I want you in that brush stroke so I can show my glory. I want you in that crappy job so that I can show my glory. I want you to have that pain so that when you're healed, I can do amazing. I can show this beautiful picture that shows how amazing I am. We're stuck there, and we begin praying, we begin fasting about taking us out of that, but God wants us in that spot so that he can show his glory. Our purpose has a position, that position has a purpose, and that's why God has you here today, and God has you in this life. Number 2, our position is a process. And unless you're an engineer or super nerdy, the word process probably does not excite anybody. But if this man hadn't been carried by four people to see Jesus, just a simple process, and we'll walk through that a little bit more, what would have happened? The Bible doesn't tell us if it was Bob's idea or his friend's idea of who was going to take him to Jesus. If it was Bob's idea, maybe he had to wait for his friends to get off work. Maybe that's why he was late. Because the Bible says that when he got to the party, that it was already filled, so he couldn't even get to the room. It was the friend's idea to take Bob. Maybe they took a little convincing. Maybe Bob really didn't want to go at first. Maybe he's like, you know what, you guys already do so much. You get my water every day. You get my food every day. I don't really need you to carry me, even if it was just a few blocks. I don't need you to carry me. But either way, it says the Bibles took him to Jesus, and when he got the house, it was slammed. It was packed full of people. Whatever you do, do to the glory of God. Meaning, bring your pains to Jesus, and it's not going to be easy. Carrying somebody, I have a son who's a 9-year-old, and he is not easy to carry. So I can't imagine what it's like to carry a full-grown man for more than a couple feet. This is what these men did. They brought their pains to Jesus. First, they had to carry Bob. The Bible doesn't tell us how. Now, we always see the Sunday school pictures of the four men on each corners like a gurney. It's a beautiful, romantic picture. But is that really the way they carried him? We don't know. It just says they took him to Jesus. That's all we know. Maybe they carried him like a big baby. I don't know. Maybe they just took turns, you know, passed him around like hot potato. I don't know. They got him to Jesus somehow. And then when they got there, it says they couldn't get in. Now, couldn't get in means that they tried to get in. So they came to the party, and there's probably a wall of people. And when they got there, they probably said, oh, we got Bob back here. Can we get in? And what I do, I know in my mind, I was like, why didn't the crowd just let him in? Why didn't they just let him in to see Jesus? But put yourself in the crowd's position. Nobody in the grocery line who has two bags of bread says the people with the three carts and says, ah, you know, you just go on ahead of me. Nobody does that. Nobody does that. No, I was here waiting. I've been here. I got here on time, Bob. You just wait your time. I got my seat. You know what, Bob, that's, you know, I see you're struggling, but you know what? I got this nice seat picked out. You're just going to have to wait your turn. But it's at this time when, if we're the four friends or we're Bob, and we see the crowd and we begin to say, we just kind of give up. See, they could have said, oh, man, we can't get to Jesus today, and then went home. And then we probably wouldn't even know this story. They could have said, maybe other people did this. They got to the crowd, and they're like, oh, what are we going to do now? Well, there's nothing left to do. So we've already done our best, so let's go home. But luckily, Bob has some crazy friends. And these crazy friends have some crazy ideas. So they see the crowd, and they're like, oh, man, what are we going to do? They're not going to let us in. So let's go to the roof. Let's do that. That seems to make sense. It's the logical thing. We can't do anything here. Let's go to the roof. See, we live in a time, it's a process, and the process means it's going to take time, and none of us like that. If you throw something in the microwave and the package clearly says a minute, how many of us just sit there and watch the clock and start yelling at it, go faster! Go faster! Why is it taking so long? So long. Galatians 6:9 is a verse that we memorized in Sunday school probably 2 months. And it's, at the right time, we will gather a crop if you don't give up. The actions are free. Learn them if you'd like to. At the right time, if we don't give up, we will gather a crop. But what we do is we remember that part and we start quoting that verse and we say, at the right time, at the right time. We're going to take this man to Jesus and we're going to gather a crop. We're going to be healed. Or we're going to take our pain to Jesus and we're going to be healed. We're going to take our job to Jesus and he's going to fix it. But the one part we skip is at the right time. Meaning it's not our time, it's not your time, it's not anybody's time, but God's time. And God says, at the right time, I'm going to heal this man. At the right time, things are going to happen. At the right time, not my time. Because my time is always right now. I'd like this now. I would like my cheeseburger done. Why did it take so long? Dear Lord, the microwave's so slow. I want it now. But God says, at the right time. Remember, we are brush strokes, and it takes a long time. The Van Gogh that I had up there, or would have had up there, didn't just happen in 2 minutes. It took a long time to paint that. The process will take work and it'll take time. Think of a seed. A seed, everybody knows what a seed is because we live in Iowa and Illinois. We see them all the time. They're everywhere. Seeds, corn, beans, whatever. You have seeds and seeds are around. And seeds are something that are great to look at. I guess I don't really appreciate them. But eventually you have to take that seed and you have to shove it in the ground. Otherwise it does no good. Otherwise it's just something in an envelope somewhere. You take that seed, and if you don't put it in the ground, it's never going to do anything. If you never take your pains, if you never take your hurts and say, God, I have this. This is my whatever. This is all I have. I'm sick of my boss. I'm sick of the the fact that he comes to work and he uses all that beautiful, eloquent, colorful language, and I'm tired of it. Or I hate going and talking to my brother. As much as I love him, he's always in a negative mood. Or whatever it is your pain is. We take that and we say, that's my whatever. God, how are you going to use that whatever? What are you going to do? And we have to give it to God. Otherwise, we just hold on to it. And we get frustrated like I was at the beginning. If you continually hold on to it, you're just going to be frustrated with yourself. And then you're going to be frustrated with everybody else. And then eventually, you're just going to be yelling at your dog for no reason. He doesn't even know what's going on. But we have to first plant the seed. So first, we plant the seed. Second, nobody's ever taking pictures of this step because it's not fancy. It is the roots. Unless you're a super nerdy plant guy, you probably don't care too much about the roots unless you just want, all you want them is that they're healthy. But the only way you ever see the roots is if you pull the plant up, and then you kill the plant. But we don't get too excited about it. We don't ever see the roots, and this is where we get frustrated because we've been reading the Bible. We've been going to church. We've been doing all this stuff. I didn't even swear this Tuesday, God. Come on. I've been doing all the right stuff, but nothing is happening. Nothing's happening in my life, and we get frustrated because we think God has forgotten us, and we kind of think that he's falling silent because our roots are growing, and nobody ever gets too excited about that. But this is where God says, I am building something for your future. Not for today, not for tomorrow even, but if you don't have the roots, you're going to fall over. Unless you have a derecho, then it doesn't matter what you have. You're just going to die. Fall over. But we have to have the deep roots. We have to have them. We have to have them so that we can get the nutrients. And the third step is that we get a little twig come up. And this is if you're the junior high girl again, you're taking all kinds of pictures. Yes, look at this. I got this beautiful thing. And then if you're me, I planted an apple tree and all I have is this little twig. And that's not what I wanted. I want an apple tree. I want an apple tree so I can have an apple. I don't want a little twig. And this is where we often kick over or pull up because we think it's a weed or we think it's something that doesn't belong because I want an apple tree now. I don't want this little twig. This little twig does nothing for me. It doesn't even give me anything. All it is a little twig. It's not even going to do anything for me for another like 10 years. We have to wait for it. We have to sit there and we have to be ready for what happens next. See, this all takes time, and I think this, as it's slowly going, as the hurts are going, or whatever you're going through, your pain in your life, and I think this is completely contradictory, but this is something I've tried to do in my life, is to get more excited about what God is doing because of the time it's taking. Get more excited because he is taking your roots and he's building it and taking them deeper. And when you eventually do have that fruit, when you do eventually have that product, whatever it is in your life, you'll know that what you went through was worth it. See, the twig is just the beginning of what you're going to see, and it's just the beginning, but there's much more to come. The Bible says that the place was packed, so they went to the roof, which is a cute little sentence, but we don't know how they got on the roof. Maybe there was stairs along the side, which would be beautiful, be elegant. I don't know if that's what happened. Maybe they all had ladders in their back pockets. Maybe they had grappling hooks. I don't know how they got Bob on the roof. My favorite theory about this is they did the 1, 2, 3. You know what you do with your kids? 1, 2. There goes Bob. I don't know. I don't know how they got Bob on the roof, but it says they got to the roof. How'd they get there? Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? Give them the toss. But it happens. But they got to the roof. See, the process is going to take time. And the twigs took time. See, we could overlook that and forget about the roots. Forget that we put the seed in and forget it all. But we have to remember what it took. So you remember that we put a seed in the ground. Remember that it's going to take roots. And eventually we're going to get a twig. Because the next process is, or next stage, is the immature plant. And the immature plant looks very much like the mature plant. The only difference is that it has a flower or a fruit. But the immature plant, its problem is that it's comparing itself to the mature plant, but it can't because it doesn't know what it went through. And they may be different plants, they may be similar plants, like an apple tree to a pear tree. They're going to bear their fruit at different times, but they can't compare themselves to each other. Say, I wish I was bearing the fruit now because it's a different tree. The immature plant continually compares itself to other things. And that's what we do in our lives. We begin looking around. We go back to that insta view where we want something now. You know, we see those beautiful pictures and those beautiful families, but yet we are settled with what we see, and we know where we are at this moment. I had this great quote up here. It was, to the worm and horseradish, the world is horseradish. That's all he knows. That's all he sees. Why? Because that's where he is. That's all he knows in his life. He's in horseradish. And that's the same thing with you. You guys all have your bubbles and what you're doing in your life, and they're all unique and they're all amazing, and God puts you there. But honestly, I don't know what they are, and you don't know what's going on in my life. We only know our bubbles. But God knows every bubble. He's not in a time frame of your bubble and your time. He's in all time, meaning he sees everything and everyone. So here's something I wonder when I was reading this story. Do you think Jesus could see Bob and friends when they were coming? Do you think Jesus in this crowd could look out and say, hey, here comes Bob and his friends. I wonder what they're doing, while he's telling this amazing story, I'm sure, to his friends in this house. Do you think he made eye contact with them? Do you think he recognized them? Do you think he knew, hey, there's Bob. I know he has a problem. I know he has something. Do you think he knew that? And here's the flip side of that, and this is the truth, is that God knew that Bob was coming. God knew that was happening. So why didn't God tell Jesus, hey, you know what? You're telling a great story. Everybody loves you. You're doing great things in here. Why don't you just go outside, heal Bob, and then you can go back to telling your beautiful stories and telling this crowd how amazing I am and telling about your love. But he didn't do that because there's a process. See, they had to walk him there. They had to give him to the roof. And then the next thing is one of the crazy friends threw out another idea. Hey, we're on the roof. Why don't we tear it up? Good time. Tear up the roof. And I don't know. I would probably be the nerdy guy in the group saying, hey, I don't know if we need to do this, guys. There's other ways. There's another way. You tear up the roof. It seems like a lot of mess. Everybody's going to, we don't need to do that. But somebody yelled, let's tear up the roof. And the immature plant is continually looking at everybody else. See, if you got to the crowd and you realize what would happen, all you do is stare at the crowd. If you've been in like a huge stadium, you start looking around, you're like, oh man, I wish I was over there. They got good popcorn over there, or over there they have the amazing sausages or whatever. You begin looking around and analyzing it, and you're saying, I wish I was there. See, they came to the crowd, they couldn't get into the crowd because it was too packed, and they didn't stay there though. They went to the roof. And when they're on the roof, they can no longer compare themselves to the crowd because they're above the crowd. They get to look at the crowd. There's Tim and Susie and whatever, whoever over there. But you are no longer in the crowd. They're no longer comparing themselves. You know, if I was in the crowd and you're in the back, think of like when you're in the grocery line. How many of you debate, like, did I choose the right line? Oh, dear Lord, I chose the wrong line. That's the same thing they could have done. Is this the right line? But they decided to get out of line, to stop comparing themselves and say, I want to go to this other place. I want to go to the roof. So they went to the roof, and they decide to rip it up. They said, let's do this now. Let's tear open this roof. Let's get Bob to Jesus right now. Let's tear up the roof. Now, again, how did they tear up the roof? Nobody knows. Maybe they had shovels in their back pockets. I don't know. Who knows how they did it, but they did it. And they did it, and they tore up the roof. So my thought is, how long do you think Jesus, who's telling this great message, I'm sure, and he's communicating very efficiently to this audience, how long it took before Jesus said, you know what? I'm not getting anything else done today. Apparently these guys are coming in through the roof. So there's another process happening inside the building. And this process is much quicker than what Bob's gone through. But this process is that as they're sitting there listening to Jesus, that this roof is slowly opening up. And as it's slowly opening up, I imagine it to be during the day. So the sun is slowly coming through. And slowly they're probably getting dust in their face and dirt and mud and whatever else is all in that roof. It's coming down. Because as much as they tried to grab some of that roof, I'm sure some of it had to come down, so these people had to spread out and just watch. They had to watch as these guys were opening it, because they didn't know Bob and these four friends were up there until Bob eventually came down. But how long do you think that would take? How long do you think they sat there? How long do you think they just said, oh, I think something new's coming up there? Because if you ever had anybody on your roof, you know what that sound sounds like. You hear that thump, 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 thump. And that's what it sounded like, four men carrying another guy. There was noise on the roof. And that's what would happen. So my thought for you guys is next Sunday, what do you think Pastor Jim Jr. would happen if this roof started open? How long do you think he would continue to speak until he said, we're not getting anything done here? And my favorite secret thought about this is how long do you think it would take for the safety team to figure out who's up there? That's my exciting time right there. They'd be up there with ladders and their walkie-talkies and all kinds of great things. The fifth step is, so we just have the immature plant, and now the fifth step is the mature plant. And the mature plant is that he was healed. And that's again where we get excited. That's again where we're jumping up and down and we're screaming, we're hollering. And that's where we want to take a picture. But what we do then is we need to redo it. See, the fruit or the flower is the end of the plant's life. It's when it then produces something. It produces a seed, and then it reproduces. So if you read the story, it says that the man picked up his mat, and then he left. He picked up a souvenir so that he could tell everybody, hey, I'm Bob. Yep, see, I used to lay on this mat right here. This is my mat right here. This is me. I got a souvenir to go with. He took whatever he had, his pain, his suffering, and he gave to the glory of God. He took his pain, he took his hurts, and he said, I'm going to give this to the glory of God. So whatever you do, give it to the glory of God. Whatever you have, give it to the glory, even your pains, even your hurts. If you have a pain physically, if you have a pain that you can point to, or a pain that you can't even talk about, that is the pain. Whether your pain is just like this man, where he's lying down, we obviously know what his pain is. Give it to the glory of God. The thing that I love about this story is that he had four crazy friends. He had four crazy friends that said, hey, Bob, we're going. Let's go. Come on, we're going to go. And they're willing to go to some crazy, crazy extents just to get this man to Jesus. But that's what we need in our life. Often we need to ask for help. Say, hey, I need help. I need you to help me get to this point. I don't know whether Bob did ask for help or they just said they were going to help. Either way, they had that relationship that they said, hey, I'm going to take you to this point. I'm going to take you to Jesus. Your third is that your position isn't permanent. This man no longer was laying on the floor. He was picked up. He was carried. He was taken to Jesus. I'm going to read I'm going to try to read something here. Got some magic. This is a verse that we don't typically read in Sunday school, so un momento, por favor. Okay, this is a verse. You are the father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So it's not an amazing Sunday school verse, but something I want you to think about is, how do you know when the devil is lying to you? Anybody know? Any question? Any thoughts? It's when he's talking to you. He can't do anything else. He's going to lie to you. The Bible describes God as love, meaning not he loves us, but he is love, meaning that's part of who he is. You can't take that away from him. The same is about the devil. The opposite is that he lies because that's all he can do. He can't speak the truth. So everything that comes out of him is going to be a lie. So when you begin hearing that lie that says you can't get anywhere, you're going to continue to be in this pain, you're going to continue to be in that suffering, that's the devil. If it's not from the Holy Spirit, it's not from the scriptures, it's the devil saying you are stuck. You are never going to move forward because that's what he wants. He wants you to stay where you are. He wants you to be that little twig that never grows up. Eventually, you'll die because you're not reaching forward. You're not believing in your roots that God has planted. You're stuck where you are because the devil says that's where you are, and you're believing those lies. But God says, don't believe that. God says, I put you there for a purpose. God says, I have a reason for you. So even though you go to your work and you don't like it every day and you love that boss so much, even though he's swearing at you, God says, I want you there. I want you there so that I can show my glory. Even though you have pain in your life, God says, I want that pain not so that you are suffering, so that I can be made seen and I can show you my glory, and think other people can say, I see the glory of God through you. The same is going to happen to us, is that when we're in that room, see, there was people that didn't like that Bob was healed. There was people that were flat out mad about it. They didn't like it. See, I think it's for two reasons. And one of the reasons is they didn't like that Bob is now just like them. See, Bob couldn't walk before, but now he can. He's been healed. So he's just like them. There's no longer a hierarchy. It's just Bob and everybody. We can all walk here. We're all good. And the other reason is I think these people also had pains in their life, but they refused to put those pains or give those pains to God. They said, I'm going to hold on to these pains. I'm going to hold on to these. And they're going to get frustrated with them. Like I talked about at the beginning, they're going to continually grind at those pains, they're going to work at them, and eventually these men are the men that took God or Jesus to the cross because of their pains, because of their frustration, because they didn't know what to do with them, and they got so mad, and they continually held them against him. So there's no magic formula to get Bob to Jesus. There was no manual. There's no directions. Now we have it, I guess, in the Bible. But that wasn't written before these guys. But think about what was the whatever that these four guys did. It's pretty simple. They took their gifts. They took who they are, and they took what they had. The first thing they did, they picked him up. Everybody here, we can all pick up something. Yeah, and then we can carry something. Do we carry? However you like, however God wants you. When we saw the crowd, and then we went on top of the roof, and we got on top of the roof, what did we do? We ripped open the roof. All those are great things to put on your resume. People are hiring for all those. Nobody's hiring for those things. Nobody else. Those are all things that we can all do, but yet we don't look at those as the whatever. We want these amazing talents like, I wish I could speak French, German, and whatever else you want to do. I don't know. I wish I could paint with my left hand and my toes. Whatever. We want these amazing talents, but God says, can you pick something up? Can you carry it? Can you get it on top of the roof and open the roof and let him down so I can see, so I can show my glory to him? That's all it took. That was the whatever they had, and these four men were changed forever because of that. For from this day, those four men and then everybody else in this room had this great story to tell. They had the story that, hey, I was there when Bob came through the roof. It was crazy. Like, Jesus was telling this great story. I don't know what he's talking about, but I forgot it all. But Bob, he came in through the roof. It was a mess. He came in through the roof. He was, I don't know what he's doing up there, but he came in, and then he came in and came down. And Jesus said, hey, why don't you get up and walk out, huh? Taking up space here. Yeah, but that's what happened. Forever, they could tell that story. Forever, they could say, I was there when Bob was healed. And they could point to Jesus and say, Jesus did that. And Jesus is saying the same thing with you. Will you bring your pains, your sufferings, your hurts, whatever you're going through, will you bring it to God? Will you say, I've got this. This is all I have, God. I can twiddle my thumbs. Beautiful. That's the whatever. It's simple. It's not complex. Pick it up, carry it, take it on the roof, and drop it down. That's what he wants. He wants your abilities. That's who God made us to be, and it seems crazy, but that's what God says. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that these men met for a prayer group. Nowhere in the Bible does it say they got together with their pastor. Nowhere in the Bible does it say they can even talk. So they're probably not great speakers because they didn't put any words to them. All these guys did was what they had. They took their pain, which was their friend, they picked him up, and they carried him, and they took him to Jesus. And that's what their whatever was. So whatever you have, give to the glory of God. Whatever you have, give it. And it's a big, beautiful bag of mess. But God says, I want your mess. I want that so I can show your glory to the people you work with, to that cranky boss, to the people you come in contact with at Walmart that have way too many things in their basket for the 12 items or less bags. I want to show your glory to them. I want you to show glory to everybody you come in contact with because I want your whatever so that I can show my glory. Bob was healed because of these men. Otherwise, he would have still been laying on this mat. Be the friend to other people like that. Encourage them, but you also have to drop your stuff and plant who you are to them. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you so much for electricity. Thank you so much for power. Thank you so much that you love us so much. Thank you so much for each heart here today, Jesus, and help us to use our whatever and whoever that you've created us to be to show your glory to everybody we see this week. Help us to not ever hold things in, but to remember that you want our whatevers. You want everything. You want that whole big bag of beautiful mess, Jesus, and you created us for a purpose, Jesus. Help us to find that purpose. Help us to seek out that purpose, and help us to remember that in the times when it's silent, that you are building something, you are creating something, and you are making something amazing in our lives. In your name I pray, amen.